From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
South San Francisco.
Downtown.
ATL.
Pittsburgh.
P-World.
Oakland. Corona Heights, San Francisco.
Coming up, we'll look at the health effects of the foreclosure crisis.
I used to come home, cook for dinner, go to my room, close my lock my door, and I used to cry every night.
Then we'll hear what people are doing to fight back.
I think I've even heard it's like you can even use the loan to pay off the loan, which, you know, I think that when you're coming across a broker or bank executive, there's that authority that they bring and thinking it's like they know what they're doing. You know, I'm going to go ahead and do this.
I don't tell my kids what's going on. I barely tell my wife what is going on because I know the type of stress that it's going to put on them.
Community coverage today on Cross Currents. Stay tuned. In many ways, the San Francisco Bay Area is recovering from the 2008 foreclosure crisis. Jobs are returning to the area. In some places, housing prices are going up. And the number of home sales is also on the rise. But the long-term effects of the crisis are still playing out. Nationally, at least 3.8 million people have lost their homes to foreclosure. In California, more than 750,000 homes have been foreclosed. And even though the economy might be getting better, they're still happening. Both here and around the country, these foreclosures have disproportionately affected low-income and minority communities. These communities are less likely to have a financial safety net and are more likely to have been targeted by predatory lenders. Preeti Vissa works for Greenlining, a nonprofit in Berkeley, tracking the effects of the crisis across the nation.
At this point, half of all foreclosures in California are going to be among Latino borrowers, two-thirds among communities of color. We're worried that it's going to be devastating in terms of, you know, building wealth for communities and watching this wealth gap from between communities just grow.
Wealth loss isn't the only consequence of foreclosure. Vissa says others are more difficult to measure.
The stress and anxiety that comes from the foreclosure process, and this isn't just a month or two. The average foreclosure, I think, takes something like 400 days. So that's over a year of racking your brain, trying to figure things out, and the anxiety that comes with that has real health impacts.
Research has begun to show the potentially devastating effects of foreclosure on the health of homeowners and their families. In this piece from our archives, KALW's Casey Miner visited San Jose to see how one family dealt with foreclosure stress.
I got this house like 7 years ago. At first, it was like, well, it's like American dream. You want a house, and we got the house. We were looking for a long time.
The house where Rosa Fernandez lives is in a quiet neighborhood in San Jose, right on the corner of two small streets. Lining the edge of the house, bordering the small front lawn, are a few ceramic planters shaped like animals, a swan, a little sheep. The walls in the living room are painted brightly, orange and blue, and covered with framed photos of her kids. She's got four sons and a daughter.
When I got married, I said, one day I have to have a house, one day I have to have a house, my kids and a dog, which I did. I went to Mexico and I got a dog, and I had a really, really tiny little dog. And I had my dog, my five kids, and I bought my house.
Fernandez bought her house in 2005 with a short-term fixed-rate mortgage because she didn't qualify for a long-term one. But when she tried to refinance a few years later, the bank wouldn't let her. Her monthly payments jumped to where she couldn't handle them, even when she was working two jobs. She went back and forth with the bank for months, but in the end, they said they couldn't help her.
So I just started crying. I said, you know what? I really, really need your help. I have five kids. Where the hell do I go with five kids?
The kids didn't know where they would go either. And Fernandez says the problem started almost immediately.
I would have to, like, get them up in the morning and have to yell to them, like, get up, you have to go to school. There's nothing I could do, and I have to go to work. And a lot of crying in the morning, a lot of stress.
The youngest boy, Dominic, took it the hardest. He stopped talking to anyone at school, stopped doing his work. His teacher wanted him to see a counselor. He was 9 years old.
So I spoke to my son, and he says, no, Mom, everybody at school is going to make fun of me. They're going to think I'm crazy. And I said, mijo, in a way you are. In a way you're going crazy, because he wouldn't eat for like 3 months. He had a stomach ache. I took him to a doctor's. There was nothing wrong with him, but he just did not want to go to school. So he kept on saying, Mom, my tummy hurts. Mom, my tummy hurts. And it's like, I didn't know what to do.
It's hard not to just be shocked by
really the depth of anguish that families experience when they go through this.
Janice Bowdler is a researcher with the National Council of La Raza, an advocacy organization that recently released a study about the effects of foreclosure on Latino families around the country. The study found that going through a foreclosure affected every aspect of family life.
Of the people that we interviewed, we didn't talk to anybody who did not have some sort of health concern.
La Raza's study was based mostly on interviews, but there's some data to back up their conclusions. Last fall, the Alameda County Public Health Department collaborated with local nonprofit Causa Justa Just Cause to survey nearly 400 families in East and West Oakland, mostly African American and Latino, about their experiences with foreclosure. The results were the same: depression, illness, and stress, compounded by financial trouble that made treating those problems very difficult. But because there's not very much research about how foreclosure affects health, right now communities aren't very well equipped to deal with the issues that are coming up.
That's really an epidemic, and it's a public health epidemic.
Tammy Lee led the data collection for the study.
Just providing housing services is a challenge. Just providing mental health services is a need and a challenge. And bringing the two together, it doesn't happen.
As more research comes out, some people are trying to address these problems. Lena Robinson does community development outreach for the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. Recently, she's been holding workshops for housing counselors, nonprofits, and community leaders in hard-hit places. Robinson says an important part of starting that process is to help people put foreclosure in context so that the experience doesn't take over their entire lives.
People have got to sort of recognize that this isn't just a financial disruption in their life. It has emotional ramifications. And while you may never be able to get back those assets or be able to, you know, financially recover, it's important that you recognize there are other things in your life that are important.
By her own account, Rosa Fernandez was lucky. Through a colleague at work, she found a nonprofit that dealt with the bank on her behalf. She ended up getting a modification, a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage with low interest. She and her kids could stay in their home. But it would be a long time before everything was back to normal.
Yeah, that's my youngest one, Dominique.
Well, you said I didn't have to talk.
Dominic is 10 now, in fifth grade. He's a small kid with messy hair and a big grin. His sister Roxanne is 12, and they tease each other like any siblings.
She also scares me. Like one time when I was making a sandwich, I didn't ask her for anything, and then she said, "Oh, my mom poisoned that ham, and all that bread's going to give you cancer." Yeah, that's why.
No, I told you that about soup, because I was just telling you facts about the soup.
Dominic is a little shy, but not overly so. Mostly he seems like a normal kid, even a pretty happy one. But Fernandez says he still worries about losing the house. Roxanne notices too.
When we would buy something, he would say, "Mom, you're spending way too much money. We're going to lose the house. We're going to lose the house." And he would just like freak out all the time.
Fernandez says she thinks she understands what her son was going through.
You look back and you think, I was losing it. I was going crazy. I was doing all of this. Because I used to cry like every day at night. I used to go to work, act like nothing was happening, because at work it was only a few people that knew what I was going through. And then I used to come home, cook dinner, go to my room, close my lock my door, and I used to cry every night. So it's something that you carry inside, and it's really, really hard.
When we talk about houses, we're often talking about money. We use words like commodity, investment, collateral. But sometimes a house is just what it's always been. A corner of the world you know is yours, and the peace of mind that comes with that knowledge. For Cross Currents, I'm Casey Miner.
You can find links to all of our foreclosure reporting at our website. It's klw.org. That's also where you can subscribe to our podcast. This is Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. The recent $26 billion bank settlement found that the nation's five largest banks engaged in a pattern of unfair and deceptive practices in servicing mortgages and dealing with loan modifications. And yet, hundreds of thousands of people in California have lost their homes. California is one of five states that made up more than 50% of the nation's foreclosures since 2008. But homeowners and activists, including those involved in the Occupy movement, have raised their voices and gotten creative in the struggle to resist foreclosures and evictions. In San Francisco, Occupy Bernal activists have been successful at postponing several housing auctions. And they've set their sights on a citywide foreclosure and eviction moratorium backed by City Supervisor John Avalos. Today, we've invited some of the people creatively fighting against evictions to join us to hear about their struggles and victories. Grace Martinez is an organizer with the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment, or ACE. Vivian Richardson lives in San Francisco's Bayview neighborhood, and she was able to successfully fight foreclosure of her home. Alberto Del Rio is an activist with Occupy Bernal in San Francisco, and he's currently facing foreclosure. An auction is set for later this spring. So let me start with you, Alberto. Tell us what happened with your house.
It was a continuous cycle of paperwork being lost, having to resubmit, having to, you know, to start all over. And
in your case, okay, so you live in this house with your wife and your kids, and it's the house that you grew up in.
Yes, it is. And I just want to raise my children, you know, in a beautiful neighborhood, you know, where I grew up in. And, you know, the kids take pride in that. It's heartbreaking to, you know, to kind of find, you know, to go out and come home and wonder if, you know, if we're going to be locked out or, you know, the lock's going to be changed. Is there going to be a real estate lock on there? And
when you first found out that you weren't going to be able to make these payments, first you went through your savings to make the payments after you had lost your job. And then you called and said, can I get a loan modification? What was the response?
Well, their response was that we'd have to default on the loan in order for us to be considered, because then it throws up a red flag. But I didn't call and ask for modification at the end. You know, I called, you know, two and a half years before it even started. You know,
so you knew that you weren't going to be able to continue to afford this mortgage, and you said, hey, can we find a solution?
Yeah, based on what started happening in the economy, realized that it was a bad loan, and this is going to, you know, forecasting that this is going to happen to us. So, you know, why not start then?
And you had always made your payments, and what they said to you was, stop.
Yes. They won't admit it, but yes. They told me, in order for you to be really considered and taking serious, you will have to stop making your payments.
And so you did?
Yes.
And then what happened?
It kept on. It kept on losing paperwork. And it was starting paperwork all over again. And I was to a point where I was just going to give up. And then I got involved with Occupy Bernal. And we've had, you know, had a lot of results where the auctions were actually put off.
So you were supposed to have an auction on your home earlier this year, and that was postponed until June. But you still have this kind of sword hanging over your head.
Yeah, so you know, the fight's not over yet. The fight's not over yet. You know, I will eventually get what I need for my terms. But at least it gives me some breathing space for right now.
And it's got to be really hard on your kids.
I don't tell my kids what's going on. I barely tell my wife what is going on because I know the type of stress that it's going to put on them. If I'm already stressed out, you know, I could only imagine what kind of stress is going to put on them.
So you've been bearing this stress for a long time. When you got involved with Occupy Bernal, how did that change how you looked at this?
I finally realized that there's actually people out there that care. You know, and knowing that there's people out there that care, you know, other than just family members. But then again, some families don't care. You know, family members don't care. But, you know, total strangers care about whether you're going to stay in your home. That itself is marvelous. That's, you know, as I told my wife, that's like angels being sent to us.
And that's Alberto Del Rio. He is a member of Occupy Bernal, and he's facing foreclosure on his Bernal Heights home. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. We're also joined by Grace Martinez. She is a community organizer with ACE, which is the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment. Okay, Grace, talk to me about what we just heard from Alberto, which is not an isolated case. This is, we've heard this from many, many people about trying to get a loan modification on a mortgage that they could no longer afford because of either the terms or because of a health emergency or losing a job, and just the inability to get a loan modification. So can you give us a sense of the bigger picture on this?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of what put people in this position was, like, just, I think, a little bit too much product, in the same way that they built so many houses and not enough people were, like, moving into them. You know, I think you look at Stockton and you look at, like, places like East County, Contra Costa, where, you know, places are completely empty. They also flooded. These type of loans that were set up were actually for, I think, people who would build malls. So it was like a maybe 2 to 5 year interest only payment loan, pick payment loans that, you know, they were pushing this on to people. You know, it's not uncommon to actually see someone with like 4 or 5 refinances, because the promise was, you know, if you refinance, number one, it'll fix your credit. Number two, you know, it can help for retirement or do whatever. I think I've even heard it's like you can even use the loan to pay off the loan. Which, you know, I think that when you're coming across a broker or a bank executive, there's that authority that they bring and thinking it's like they know what they're doing. You know, I'm going to go ahead and do this.
And numerous studies have now found a lot of outright fraud and just unfair practices in these loans. Yeah. California is one of 5 states that made up 50% of the nation's foreclosures since the crash of 2008. And then in this recent $26 billion settlement with the banks, what was found is that the 5 largest banks engaged in a pattern of unfair and deceptive practices. And then here in San Francisco, Assessor Phil Ting ordered an audit of foreclosures, and he found that 84% of foreclosure notices filed in San Francisco contain at least one legal irregularity, and many contain multiple irregularities. And you're saying that this is a pattern, a deliberate pattern.
Yeah.
Explain.
Well, I think there's the filtering report versus like how the loans were packaged and put out. I think they're two, I wouldn't say they're, you know, part of the same, you know, conspiracy. The creation of the loan product and then pushing it out in particular communities, you know, like you do see a high concentration of World Savings in the Southeast sector, parts of East Oakland, you know, Richmond and Contra Costa County. So it's like you see like, you know, where the bank push this. I think those were
pushed,
you know,
this being subprime mortgages?
The type of, yeah, the loan product that put people in the position. So they're like pick a payment loans or interest only, they're ARMs essentially, which is, you know, and they all reset at the same time. So which was, you know, they sold the loans at the same time, they reset at the same time. And so no one was going to refinance them because, you know, I think at that point, like people had already cashed in on their money. But like on the Phil Ting report, this, what we're seeing is like how the banks are dealing with the foreclosure crisis on the back end. You know, so the sampling that he took was about like a 385 out of like over 2,000 foreclosures that occurred. I think, you know, Vivian, for all it's worth, actually could be in that report and several of our members.
Well, let me introduce Vivian then. Vivian Richardson is a homeowner in San Francisco's Bayview Hunters Point district. And Vivian, you had your house foreclosed upon, but you successfully fought back. And tell us what happened.
My loan actually began as a World Savings loan, the pick-a-pay. And I did refinance, trying to get out of that pick-a-pay, but wind up being in the same type of a loan.
And did you try to get a loan modification?
Yes. For 2 years, I tried to get a loan modification. Of course, like everyone else, all the stories you've heard, it was the runaround of lost paperwork. Oh, this paperwork is old. We have to start again, you know, with a whole new package. The same runaround that everyone else gets.
All right. So then you see, and you see Tanya Dennis's story on TV, mm-hmm, and you're inspired. And mm-hmm, then how did you guys stop your foreclosure?
It was stopped through email blast of 1,400 emails and several hundred phone calls to the CEO of Aurora Loans, who actually services my loan.
And that's Vivian Richardson. She's a member of ACE. We're also with Grace Martinez, who's an organizer with ACE, which is the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment. Alberto Del Rio is with us as well. He's an activist with Occupy Bernal in San Francisco, and he's currently fighting the foreclosure of his own house. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and we're talking about the foreclosure crisis and how locally people are really banding together to fight back against this. So what you're finding is that a lot of the time people on their own are not getting the attention of the banks. They're getting this kind of, well, we lost your paperwork again, yeah, again and again. But when you band together, how are the banks responding?
They are responding very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. So is this giving you a lot of hope for the future? What do you see coming up, and what do you think are some of the long-term solutions to this crisis?
Well, there are a couple actions that are coming up. A lot of us, ACE and Occupy Bernal, especially since we have a lot of Wells Fargo victims, are actually involved in a larger coalition to take over the shareholders meeting. Wells Fargo shareholders meeting April 24th.
And what are you going to do?
Take it over. I think we have to provide opportunity for homeowners and people directly impacted by the practices of Wells Fargo to confront these I like to call sociopaths, because, you know, how could you possibly, like, continue doing your job, making the money that you're making, and knowing that you're kicking seniors and families out of their home and not providing real opportunity?
Mm-hmm. And what do you say, though, to somebody who says, hey, you signed these documents, it's your loan, you're responsible? I'm not.
Well, you know what? Like, no one put a gun to the bank's head to give out these loans as well. I think that the banks were more culpable in providing these type of loans, and these loans weren't fair in the first place. So I think that in many cases, that people were tricked into taking these loans. There's fraudulent paperwork associated with that, where incomes were written up, and people were given this false pretense of what they're actually signing. So I think that I understand signing paperwork and having to live up to the agreement, but if someone doesn't tell me outright what exactly the agreement is, it's like, whose fault is it then? It's the person who's lying to me, right?
So what would you like people to know about what's happening and how you're fighting back? Vivian, go ahead and you get the last word here.
Well, I think, as everyone knows, is that this is a foreclosure crisis that we have going on here. The officials that have the power to actually put a halt to this until the settlement of A.G. Harris's office is complete, because it is still not complete. They basically just don't agree to agree.
And this is, Vivian is referring to the $26 billion settlement that Attorney General Kamala Harris just signed along with other states with the banks.
Right. So they've just agreed to agree. They still have a lot of work to do in order to, put the ink to the paper. We're asking for a moratorium until that is completed, because we are continually losing families as we speak. And as a matter of fact, this morning, we've lost a family that has been evicted.
And let's try and leave this on a positive note, which is that you are talking about folks who are dealing with this to band together and to stop these. What else would you like to say to listeners who maybe are interested in this but are not in foreclosure and aren't dealing with that, but maybe they have an account at Bank of America or Wells Fargo? What else can people do to help deal with folks who are dealing with the foreclosure crisis, and especially who are being wrongly foreclosed upon?
Well, I think that, right now, like, someone might not be in foreclosure, but their house could be underwater.
Means that you owe more than it's worth?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. There's also the issue that for every foreclosure on your block, it brings down the property value by 1%. That when people can't afford to pay their mortgage, they can't put their money, they can't buy things, and businesses start to lose money. They have to lay people off, and it becomes a vicious cycle. So this isn't a problem just for people who are going through foreclosures. This is an every person problem. This is like the time where all of us have to come together as, like, Californians, as people who live in America, to actually help rebuild the American dream and step up and fight back.
Grace Martinez is an organizer with the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment, or ACE. Alberto Del Rio is an activist with Occupy Bernal in San Francisco, and he's currently facing foreclosure. An auction is set for later this spring. Vivian Richardson lives in San Francisco's Bayview neighborhood, and she was able to successfully fight foreclosure of her home. So is your community doing anything to fight foreclosures and evictions? You can tell us your story by calling 415-264-7106. Just leave us a message at 415-264-7106. And if you're on the banking side of the equation, we'd also like to hear your story. What have you observed? You can call us and leave a message at 415-264-7106 or visit us online at kalw.org. You've been listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. The team includes Hannah Baba, Julie Kane, Jen Chien, Audrey Dilling, Irene Flores, Artem Skunikovs, Casey Miner, Erica Mu, Marina Palta, Lisa Ratner, Seth Samuel, and Judy Silber. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. Martina Castro is our managing editor. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Stephen Short is our music maestro.
The who? What are you talking about, maestro?
My friend, he's a conductor.
Oh.
And thanks to you, we are listener-supported radio. The sounds you're hearing now are coming from Bay Area guitarist Craig Ventresco. He specializes in music from an earlier era, ragtime, vaudeville, and songs from the earliest days of recordings. You don't need a time machine to hear him, though. Just go to Cafe Divine in San Francisco on the third Thursday of each month from 7 to 9 p.m. You can find all of that information at kalw.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.